I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, commencing to read at the first verse of this passage of God's Word. That is Jeremiah chapter 2. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible Word. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land, and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors or princes also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore will I yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Sittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to his precious truth for his name's sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word this morning. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit, thou will help us to understand, and as we meditate upon it, we pray that, Lord, we might hear that instruction. This is my way. Walk ye in it. We thank thee and praise thee that thou hast not left us to wander on our own. We thank thee that we have a word from thee. We pray that we might bow in submission to the guidance of thy precious word and know thy blessing upon our lives. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. As a prophet of God, Jeremiah was commissioned by God. But that commission was often questioned. Question marks and doubts were put over the calling of God to Jeremiah. And many times we find that God's servant was challenged, even concerning his prophetic ministry. For example, in chapter 11 of the book of Jeremiah, in the verse number 21, we read these words. It says, Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anatoth, that seek thy life, saying, Prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. And so we find that he was bitterly opposed, even by the people of his own city, the people of Anatoth. Also in chapter 23, we witness that he faced great opposition by those wicked and false prophets. Because in the 23rd chapter, in verse number 30, we read these words. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and have said, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And so there was a great opposition that was faced by Jeremiah, even by these false prophets. If you turn to chapter 28 of the book, we find another. His name was Hananiah. And we find that in that 28th chapter, Hananiah challenges Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Look at chapter 28, verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the kings of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon, and I will bring again to this place. But in reality, that was not true. We find indeed that Hananiah was a false prophet. And although God had said through Jeremiah that they would be in Babylon for 70 years, we find that Hananiah challenged the prophecy of God's servant. He said, no, it's not 70 years. You're falsely prophesying. But here is what God says. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I have broken the yoke of the kings of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house. But friend, it was not true. So therefore, God's servant is facing opposition upon opposition. In chapter 29, we find of Shemaiah, one of the professional prophets. He actually wrote a letter from Babylon to the temple authorities at Jerusalem, challenging Jeremiah and saying that Jeremiah had called himself to be a prophet, that God had not called him to be a prophet. Verse 27 of chapter 29. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anatoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? And so therefore they're putting a question mark. They're challenging the authority of God's servant. But friend, as we have already said in our study, only that Jeremiah knew that his call was of God, friend. That God had called him to be a prophet. There were times in his life, friend, that he would have given up. There were times that he felt like resigning. In actual fact, in the midst of his perplexity, we know that Jeremiah even said foolish things to God. Yet God kept him going. God kept him going because God had appointed him. And we go back to chapter 1 to see that appointment again. And there we find in Jeremiah chapter 1, God says this in verse 7, But the Lord said unto me, Say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am the Lord to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdom to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. And I want you to notice there that commission which God gave. And friends, you'll notice in that commission, there's a sixfold commission that God gave to Jeremiah. And it's found in verse number 10. I want us to look at that just for a moment. Because I believe it is important that we look. There are 4 injunctions there that could be described as destructive. And then there are 2 that are described as constructive. But notice the destructive injunctions were first, before what we would look upon as the constructive ones. the final two. And you know, as you look at those, you find and you say to yourself, but look at them. It says in verse number, he said, I have this day set you over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down. They're what we look upon as the injunctions of God to God's servant, the commission of God to God's servant. But these are, we would look upon as destructive. Many people today say they oppose such a preaching. They say that's negative. My, that's too harsh. That's too rough. God couldn't send a man to do that. But you notice God says, listen, I have this day set thee. God says, this is my commission. I'm the one that's in control here. And God says, I have put my words in your mouth. And God says, I command thee, whatsoever I command thee, verse 7, thou shalt speak. And the commission which God gave to Jeremiah was not an easy one. It was to root out. It was to pull down. It was to destroy. It was to throw down. And then it says, and to build, and to plant. And friend, let me tell you, all of those things, whenever you think about rooting out and pulling down and destroying and throwing down, that involves a lot of energy. That's not an easy task. There's a lot of work here. And people say, but you know what God wants his servant to do? You've got to build up and you've got to plant. But God says, listen, no, that's not my way. God says, I look at the situations in the nations and over the kingdoms, and there is a work to be done first before you plant. And before you build and plant, you've got to do these other things. And they're not easy. Rooting out and pulling down, destroying and throwing down. You say to me, but preacher, what does that mean? What was God saying to Jeremiah? It just seems to be that there's such a destruction here. Why would God say, Jeremiah, destroy? Why would God say, pull up and root up? Why would God say, pull down and throw down? I can understand him saying, build, Jeremiah. I can understand, plant, Jeremiah. But what are these negative things? Why these negative things? Why would God demand his servant to do this? You see, friend, in Jeremiah's day, the people of Judah had become overgrown spiritually with weeds. And that's why there was a job to be done. What farmer in this country, my friend, a wise farmer, would go out and sow a seed knowing that the place is full with weeds and dockens? And you say, but what about it? Sure, let's just sow the seed. It doesn't matter about the weeds that are there. I'm just going to throw out the seed, and surely there'll be a harvest. Yes, there will. There'll be a harvest, all right, but I'll tell you this, the farmer's wasted his time. He's wasted his time. You see, there was the weeds of ritualism amongst Judah. There were the weeds of hypocrisy. There were the weeds of idolatry that had grown up amongst Judah. And God says, listen, Jeremiah, before you build, before you plant, you've got to take the weeds out. You've got to root up. You say, how did this happen, friend? Happened very simply. Judah, Israel was backslidden. They were in a backslidden situation, and they had not recognized their backsliding. They had turned their back on God. Instead of worshiping the true and the living God, the God that had blessed them, as we'll see in a moment or two, they had turned their back on God. They were worshiping idols instead of worshiping the true God. Let me show you that, chapter 7. This was a situation that backslidden Israel had got herself into, and Judah had got herself into at this time. Jeremiah chapter 7, look at verse number 9. Well, we start at verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? And come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Go to verse 18. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle a fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven. And they pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the field, the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put your burnt offerings upon your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. See, this is how far they got away from God. But do you notice what it says there in those early, that early verse? Listen, go back to verse 9. Will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal? And walk after other gods, which or whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do these things. In other words, listen, we can do this. This is what God has delivered us for. My friend, what awful hypocrisy. What awful idolatry had taken over. How easily it can creep in. And I want to tell you, there's a warning here. These people had got so far back, friend, they couldn't even recognize. They said, listen, we can do this. And they stand in the very house of God and say, we're delivered to do that. Which was a lie. They turned their back on God. And God called his servant Jeremiah to preach against their apostasy. A young preacher said to me the other day, he said, tell me, Mr. McRae, is the ecumenical movement still in existence? I said, what? Is it still in existence? Friend, the answer is this, yes, it is, full steam ahead. The ecumenical apostasy hasn't finished. The ecumenical movement, the run back to Rome, hasn't finished. The difference is, it's subtle today. It's more subtle than ever it has been before. It is so devious. And yet it is still so dark. But people today, they do not see it because it's not just directly always in your face. I'm told that the students in the Presbyterian College were being lectured concerning Martin Luther. Who was invited to give the lecture? A Jesuit priest. Friend, I tell you, It is still going on. This congregation came out to take a stand against the apostasy, to stand for God's truth. And this was what God called his servant to do. God says, Jeremiah, you've got to root out. You've got to pull down. You've got to destroy. You've got to throw down before you build and before you plant. Oh, we love the building. And we love the planting. But boy, it's hard work to do the other, because it's not popular. It's not popular. Martin Luther had to do that in his day. He had to expose the false teachings and the practice of Rome. He attacked the false practices of indulgences. He took a stand against the false doctrine of the of purgatory and the papacy. But then he did the building and the planting. Thank God, under God, he was used to transform the continent of Europe and the British Isles with biblical truth of the Protestant Reformation. But I tell you, my friend, he had to take a stand first against error. William Tyndale was greatly influenced by Luther's translation work and stand against Rome, and he translated the Bible into English. Of course, he was burned at the stake. 1534. Scholars estimate that the King James Version that we have today, 84% of the New Testament is Tyndale's work, and 76% was the translation under Tyndale of the Old Testament. He was challenged by a priest one day who said this to him, "Tyndale, we had better be without God's law than the Pope's." It was in that light that William Tyndale answered these words, "I defy the Pope and his laws, and if God spare my life, I will cause the boy that drives the plow in England to know more of the Scriptures than the Pope himself." And friend, it is because of men like that that we have the freedom to come into this house this morning. But if you and I forget the cost of that freedom, let me tell you, my friend, we are on the verge of losing the freedom. And I can tell you it will get more difficult. Was it Oxford University, whenever they wanted to put up a stall for the Scriptures there recently at the Refreshers Day, they were denied it. You could put up a common stall with all faiths, but a biblical stall in the Bible you could not. Friend, that's in England. And I can tell you, we talk about what happens in America soon comes to England. What happens in England soon comes here if we don't take a stand. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And Tyndale had to die, friend, but before he died, listen, he cried, these are his last words before he was burnt at the stake. "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." And his prayer was answered. For thank God, within 12 months, the King of England tolerated a version of the Bible so that every church in England should possess a copy. But don't forget this, friend, there was a time that didn't have one. There was a time that even the churches of England did not have a copy of the Word of God. But we have that freedom today. In Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 3, it says this, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." He said there's something had to happen before there was sowing. You've got to break up the fallow ground. And you know, friend, the reason why that ground was left fallow was to make it more productive. It was left aside so that it would be able to produce more fruit after it got a rest. But the tragedy was this. When the ground is left for a period of time, over the ground there comes weeds. and there can gather thorns, and the ground becomes hard, it becomes compact. And then the blade of the plow has got to go down. And I can tell you, as the blade of the plow goes down, it hurts as it cuts through that hardened ground. You've got to break it up. Break up the fallow ground. That's what he cried. Thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. So what did Jeremiah call of God to do, friend? To expose their condition. For the sad reality was this. They felt that they could come, even though that they were burning incense to false gods, that they could come into God's presence and say, you know, we're obeying God. We're obeying God. God says in his precious word, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. But the person who disobeys God still says, I'm obeying God. I know God says come out, but I stay in, because if I don't stay in, there'll be no light there at all. So it's more important for you or for them to do what they want to do instead of obey God. You see, friend, they trusted in a false confidence. Oh, yes, they were called by his name. They trusted in the temple. They trusted in the city of Jerusalem. They trusted in the royal line, instead of trusting God. And so God says, Jeremiah, you've got to root out. You've got to pull down. You have got to destroy. You have got to throw down the false altars of Baal and the false worship and the false idolatry that people are carried away with in Judah and Jerusalem. And then God says, then build and plant. And friend, we're called to do the same today. Yes, thank God we're building. And God is building his church. And we're calling a people to separate unto the Lord and be obedient unto his word. And we're simply expounding God's truth. And that's what Jeremiah did. He simply expounded. He sought to enlighten the people of Judah concerning what God wanted them to do. And thank God, God said yes. After the 7 years, 70 years, God says, yes, I'll bring you back to the land. I'll restore you to your homeland once again. I want you to notice two simple things before we finish this morning. First of all, I want you to notice what Jeremiah did. He witnessed the privileges that the nation enjoyed. God was good to his people. Turn to chapter 2. God says this, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem and say, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. And there we see, friend, how privileged they were, because that was God's purpose for them. You see, in the beginning, when God brought his people out of Egypt, God says, come with me. And God says, I remember thee. I remember the love you had for me. I remember the love of thine espousal when you went after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Yes, you are faithful to me. And maybe there's someone here this morning in God's house, friend, and that's what God's saying to you. I remember a time in your life when you were on fire for me. I remember a time when you loved me. I remember a time when nothing would have stopped you. In the fellowship, listen, every meeting that was in God's house, you were there. I remember a time when a prayer meeting was called. Should it be the earliest morning or the latest of the night, you were there. I remember whenever you used to pray, I heard your voice in the prayer meeting. I saw your tears in the prayer meeting. Yes, I remember. And you loved me. You loved me. I remember that, says God. But friend, be honest. Is it only a memory? Is that only a memory this morning? Because is that past? Is that love fresh this morning? Or are you in reality like the children of Israel? God says, I remember that's what you used to be. But you're not that now. You went after me. You went after me, yes, in the wilderness, even in the land that was not sown. Those were hard days. But you were faithful. Those were days that were testing. Ah, but you stood the test. I went down in Londonderry to visit a wee man who's not able to get out anymore. He's lying constantly in bed. He was reminding me of the early days of the Free Church down, and they're coming to 50 years in Londonderry as well. Or it is 50 years. And he said, you know, Mr. McRae, God called me out. And then his wife spoke up and she says, the same night God called me out. And he says, you know, we struck the course. We struck the course. He says there were others that indicated to Mr. Wiley that night that they were going to take a stand for God outside the camp. He says, but after that, they were nowhere to be seen. But he says, thank God we struck the course. And friend, that's what Paul said. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I kept the faith. God says, I remember thee. I remember what it used to be. I remember the kindness of thy youth. But that's only a memory. And I pray today that you will see your heart and God will show each one of us our hearts as we really are this morning. Because God knows exactly, are we on fire for him? Are we loving him? I remember when you used to go out and hand out invitations. Let me tell you this. You could hardly push the people back. They just wanted to get out to get the invitations out for the harvest. Now the truth of the matter is this, friend, let's be honest. You can't get the people in. To give them out. And yet we stand in God's presence and we sing the hymns and we say, it is well with my soul. God's purpose for them. God's purpose for them. God had a plan and a purpose, yes, even through the wilderness. And God, Israel, was constituted as sin as a holy nation with reference to Jehovah. They were the first fruits. And God's purpose was to reach other nations through Israel. But not only was there God's purpose, there was God's protection. Look at verse number 3. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, the first fruits of the increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. They knew God's protection. They were as the apple of his eye. And friend, we can look back and we can see how that God's hand has been upon us. And you know what God says? Whoever touches them, God says, they're touching me. Whoever hurts them, they're hurting me. And God says, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. You can't touch God's work, friend, and put your hand against God's work and prosper. You can't do it. You can't do it. Do you remember when Saul of Tarsus was going down the Damascus road? And he was going down to persecute the people of God. And the Lord stopped him. The light shone from heaven. And he fell on his face to the ground. And the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Jesus was in heaven. And he says, "Why persecutest thou me?" Why? Because he was putting his hand against the people of God. And friend, you can't put your hand against the people of God and the work of God. The apple of God's eye, you can't do that and prosper. They knew God's purpose. They knew God's protection. They knew God's provision. Because God provided for them a law. For there in Mount Sinai, he gave them the Ten Commandments. And indeed a law which governed every area of their lives, domestic, social, spiritual, moral, national. God gave them a law and God gave them a land. Look at verse 6. Neither said they, "Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt?" Notice that. He brought us up. Then look at verse 6 again. "That led us through." Led us through the wilderness. He brought us up. He led us through. Then verse 7. "And I brought you into." I brought you up. I led you through. And I brought you into. There's God's provision. And God blessed them, friend. God blessed them. God provided them a law, and God provided for them a land. That was the privileges they had. But here's the second and last thought. Privileges bring obligation. They bring obligation. They bring responsibilities. And you know the chief responsibility that God required of the people of Israel was this, and the people of Judah. One word. Obedience. Chapter 7. Look at verse number 28. Verse 23. Chapter 7, verse 23. "But this thing command I thee," or them, "saying, obey my voice. And I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not." God say, "Obey my voice." Chapter 11, verse number 4. "Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God." Look at verse 7, chapter 11. "For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice." Chapter 26, in verse number 13. "Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you." Chapter 38 and the verse number 20. "But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech ye, the voice of the Lord, which I spake unto thee." What was the obligation for the people of God, friend? Obedience. Obey the Lord. And the sad reality was this, that instead of obeying a God, they disobeyed the Lord. Times away, Jeremiah challenged them concerning their worship in the temple. They were charged with their disobedience, chapter 44, verse 23. That disobedience included the worship of idols, chapter 2, verses 11, 28. That disobedience included their alliances with other nations, chapter 2, verses 18, 36, 37. and they stand accused and guilty of forsaking the Lord. They would not obey. It's not that they didn't know what to do, friend. They just wouldn't do it. Let me ask this question as we finish. How will we leave God's house today? Will we leave God's house to go out and obey Him, to serve Him? Or will we leave God's house to walk in disobedience and think that we can do whatever we like? And God will neither notice it, or God will never judge us for it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask of Thee today that Thou will truly bless Thy word to our hearts, challenge us afresh. Lord, we know the difficult days that we're living in. Thou knowest the challenges that we're facing, and Lord, it's not easy. It's not easy to walk right. But Lord, it never was easy. But it's always right. Help us, our God, our Father, to leave Thy house today. And if our hearts are cold, and Lord, if we are backslidden and not walking the way we ought to, help us, our God, to do what Jeremiah cried to the people to do, to repent of their sin and return to God. Acknowledge they have fallen. Return unto the Lord thy God. And for any who are not saved today, remind them afresh that they cannot sin and prosper, but sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We pray in Jesus' precious name.